Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show. Moments away, Lori Bull. But first, got some problems with Yellow Jackets. Rescue has that solution ready for you.
During these dry summer months, you will notice that there are more aggressive Yellow Jackets flying around. They are looking for your barbecue meat, sweet drinks, and anything sweet or water sources they can get to. You want to keep them at bay with the Rescue Yellow Jacket traps. Rescue Yellow Jacket traps are an eco-friendly do-it-yourself option to keep those stingy pests away from you. They use a powerful lure for Yellow Jackets, and they will not attract beneficial honeybees. All Rescue products are made in the USA. You can go to rescue.com. That is rescue.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Yeah, Lori Bull is an author, gardener, and garden writer, and she's a lifelong resident of the Pacific Northwest. Her book is titled Fearless Gardening, and she loves all types of spiky plants and more. Welcome to the program, Lori.
Thank you much, and love to be here.
Well, let's talk about your blog. It's called Danger Garden. Why is it called that, and what is your passion that got you into the spiky plant world?
So my husband actually came up with the name Danger Garden. I wanted to start a blog, and I was trying to come up with a catchy name, and we had just adopted a pug. And as you know, that breed of dog has kind of big, bulgy eyes, and I have a lot of so he suggested Danger Garden, and I thought, yep, that sounds about right. My passion there is really gardening with spiky desert plants in the Pacific Northwest is a little odd. So by starting a blog, I was able to connect with people all around the country who grow the kind of plants that I love. But I also learned of a very tight-knit group here in Portland who actually grows those same kind of plants and are avid gardeners. So my passion has turned into basically all things gardening.
Now, had your passion always been about spiky plants as a young girl, or did you stumble into this?
I kind of stumbled into it. I went on a business trip to Arizona when I was working for Williams-Sonoma and was blown away at what I saw. Being from the Pacific Northwest, I had never seen the cactus scenes that are so, you know, everywhere there. And I was just in awe and fell in love.
That's great. So many people are not sure about growing succulents, cacti, et cetera. And maybe, you know, maybe somebody gifted them one of these plants and they either kept it alive by some miracle
or it's on life support.
What are some good varieties and some tips for growing these types of plants if you're a newbie?
That's a great question. And I hesitate to recommend specific plants because all gardening is so local. So I really think the best way for people to get started is to walk around your neighborhood. Go to areas that you know there are avid gardeners and see what they're growing in their gardens. Ask them questions. Chances are they may give you some plants that you can go home and plant in your garden. Or if you're growing them as a houseplant person, which is very on trend right now, mail order is fabulous for finding a specific plant that you're hunting for, but maybe not the best for learning about that plant. So again, I think that it's really important that you go to your local nursery and you soak up the knowledge that is available there. But I will say the prickly pear, opuntia, my parents call them monkey ears. Those plants are native to all but three of our continental United States. So they are a great one to get started with, and they come in all sizes from little tiny windowsill size cactus to pads that are bigger than my head, and they grow to car size patches. So the opuntia or prickly pear is a great one to start with.
Now, you brought up the going to your garden center. We've all gone to the big box stores. We see all kinds of cacti or succulents in very poor condition, but people buy them. Do you recommend just staying clear of that and, as you said, go to a garden center where there's experts, even though in some instances you may pay a tad more, but you're going to get the quality with that too?
Definitely, I recommend that. But, you know, I say that and I'm hugely contradicting what I do myself because you're there buying something else and you have to walk through the garden center, through the garden department. It's just what we do, right? And there's that desire to rescue a plant that isn't looking good. So – I've done that. Sometimes they're beyond help. Sometimes you get a great bargain. But I think that you really want to identify what it is that you bought. And sometimes the labels there are not very helpful. So right. Going online and finding a group that can tell you, yes, that is an agave perii rather than just succulent assorted, will help you do some research and figure out what it is you have and set you up for success.
Now, once you get one of these plants that are healthy and you're able to keep alive, are a lot of these plants, are you able to propagate by cutting, or how can you expand what from one plant?
Many of them, like agaves, some aloes, send out pups, which are baby plants around the mother plant that you've planted. So those are really easy to dig up or unpot and pull away and repot, and you have another plant, or you can give it to a friend. The opuntia that I mentioned earlier, you just break off one of those pads and stick it in, let it callus over, let the end dry up so it doesn't rot, and stick it in some soil and it's going to start growing. So those are the easiest ways to propagate. I am not a seed person. I know you can grow these plants from seed if you get a bloom and you have seed set, but I'm not patient enough for that. So I like to propagate by just separating pups or breaking off pads. Many of the softer aloes, like the echeveria, you can take a leaf and stick it. Did I say aloes? Softer succulents like echeveria. You can just lay it on the soil and it will grow a new plant, send out roots, and it's pretty amazing.
And I'm assuming that from seed, we're talking years, not weeks or months.
Exactly. And I just don't have that kind of patience. I'm in awe of the people who do, but that's not me.
That's totally understandable. Now, your book is called Fearless Gardening. What can our listeners expect when they pick up a copy? And what is something maybe unique or noteworthy that would intrigue them?
So I wanted to write a book that gave permission to people to experiment, make mistakes, you know, even if that meant killing plants, to just get out there and have fun. I think that my book is unique in that it's not a how-to. I'm not telling you how to go about doing whatever it is that you're wanting to do in your garden. I'm just encouraging you to get out there and experiment, make mistakes. If it doesn't work, try again, come up with a different way of doing it. Gardening really isn't an end result that you're aiming for. It's a process. You're constantly learning. You're reinventing what you want from your garden. And I talk about all that in the book and give people great examples of how I break the rules, encourage them to break the rules, and just really enjoy it.
Okay, great. So we are talking with Lori Bull. She's an author, gardener, garden writer. And so, you know, you talk about, propagating some of the different plants. For one question, I don't know if you've ever propagated aloe, but we had attempted it and it wasn't successful. And we found that a lot of people make, I guess, mistakes or maybe don't have much experience. Do you have any tips for propagating aloe?
Because aloes are not, I back up, there are two aloes that are hardy here in my garden. So I don't really have a lot of experience propagating them. One of them is no longer classified as aloe, but Aloe aristata, which does form pups, and I've separated them and replanted them. I don't have a lot of experience with aloes because I have so many agaves and other succulents in containers that I haven't branched out to plant a lot of aloes in containers. So I'm sorry, I'm kind of letting you down on that one.
It's okay. So you did say that, you know, you can definitely like wait for a pup and separate that. When it comes to any of these, you know, succulents or cactus, is there any other tips you recommend for people that do want to separate and, you know, propagate to keep in mind? Is it just pretty basic as much as recognizing where to separate it, or any other tips there?
It is so easy that I think I take for granted that you can say there's an agave that you have that has sent up a couple of pups at the base. It's in a container. And you want to separate those pups. So pull it out of the container, kind of tease away the roots. If you pull that pup off and it breaks away, as long as the bottom is intact, even if there are no roots, it's going to be fine. You can just let the bottom dry a bit so it's not an open wound, basically, and plant it up in some free-draining mix, and it's going to root and it's going to grow. And because they are so easy, I often mistreat more tender herbaceous plants that actually need their roots. Anybody can do it. Trust me. Very simple.
Well, many of the plants that you love prefer drier climates. Is there a way to mimic or to cheat that in your area if you want to grow a spiky plant and live in an area that's not ideal? Because where you live, most people, Pacific Northwest, rain like 75% of the year. How do you make that work?
That is such a good question. We have very dry summers, so I'm lucky in that regard. But containers are an easy answer. You can move your containers to areas that are under eaves or in a garage if it's a wet time so that they don't get drenched. You can plant with a very free-draining soil mix in a container. Make sure it has great drainage holes. All of that is helpful. But if you do want to plant in the soil, by mounding up the soil rather than planting level with the rest of your garden, but kind of planting on a bit of a berm, and then use pumice and pea gravel and all sorts of very free-draining materials to build up that soil and plant on top of it, then the moisture is going to run away from your plant. It also is helpful to kind of tip it so that water is not pooling in the crown of the plant. It runs away. And all plants are not created equal. So you could choose a succulent or a cactus that is hardy to a part of the world that never gets to the temperatures that you get in your part of the world. So make sure you're doing your research and you're planting a plant that is set up for success, that is going to be okay with your temperatures, and just plant it so that you're maximizing the drainage and keeping the water away from the crown of the plant.
Now, you say containers is kind of one of the tricks. Would you recommend any or some of these plants to be grown indoors, or is it best to keep them outside?
Definitely grown indoors as long as you have sufficient light. I am someone who has hundreds of containers, and they are outside in the summertime because I love having them around me there, and the plants love the sunshine, and we, like I mentioned, are dry in the summer. But then I bring them in the winter, and they are under lights in my basement, and some of them go on windowsills. Unfortunately, when I bring them indoors, I have to give them artificial light because here in Portland, Oregon, in the winter, it is just pretty dark and gray. So if you're able to give them the light that they need on a windowsill, then great. They will be just fine.
Okay, great. Well, we've really enjoyed having you on the show. Can you tell our listeners where to find more of your great information and how to find you best?
Certainly. So my blog, I've still published there 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and that's thedangergarden.com. And I'm also on Instagram and cannot stop posting there. So I'm on there virtually daily putting up pictures, and that is also thedangergarden.com, or danger at thedangergarden, sorry. And I'll just throw out my email. If someone wants to email me with a question, I'm happy to answer it. I'm at spikyplants@gmail.com. So thank you so much for having me here.
You're very welcome. Your book available on your website and all major bookstores?
All major bookstores, Amazon. I do not have it on my website simply because it came out during COVID, and running to the post office was not something that I was really up for. So local bookstores, online bookstores, and that dreaded Amazon.
And the name of the book again is, for our listeners?
Fearless Gardening.
Well, we greatly appreciate the time you've given us, and not only educating Holly and myself, but all of our listeners as well.
Thanks. You guys have a great night.
You too.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.